It's Saturday, August 11th, 2018, from Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Sheldon, publisher of Editorial Media, here to bring you the literary news for the second full week of August 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from Bleeding Cool, charges of sedition against Malaysian cartoonist Zunar lifted. In November 2015, Malaysian cartoonist Zunar returned home from England to face charges of sedition that could have seen him sentenced to 43 years. Choosing not to claim asylum in the UK, he believed that the flight over government cartoons he drew and tweets he posted in February that year was worth it. Shortly afterwards, Zunar, or Zulkifli SM Anwar Ul Haq, was hit by a travel ban. A year later, he was arrested for that crime. In 2012, then-Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak had promised to abolish the Sedition Act, a holdover from Malaysia's time as a British colony that criminalizes any conduct with a serious tendency to bring hatred or contempt against the head of state. That commitment was reneged on, however. Indeed, the law has been amended to introduce even harsher punishments. Well, as of last week, Zunar has been acquitted of all 9 charges leveled at him, including charges of sodomy. Also in the news on Sunday from the bookseller, Nicholson's The Seabird's Cry soars to Wainwright victory. Adam Nicholson has won 2018's Wainwright Golden Beer Book Prize for The Seabird's Cry. From the DLG blog, the Digital Library of Georgia adds 3 new historical map collections from City of Savannah Municipal Archives. These historical maps are a rich resource documenting the development of Savannah's town plan, wards, and neighborhoods through the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries. From LitHub, Breaking Up the Boys Club on Women in Rare Books, speaking with the dealers pushing for a more equitable industry. And finally on Sunday from The Guardian, Boiling Point, Why Literature Loves a Long Hot Summer. From The Go-Between to Atonement, The Great Gatsby to Call Me By Your Name, novelists have used heat waves to create tension, erotic charge, and moments of possibility. It is a time when all the rules change.
Monday.
Top story from Publishers Weekly, indie booksellers look to register voters. 4 indie bookstores are taking the services they provide to their communities to a new level. Booksellers in these stores are registering voters this summer and fall. Though all the booksellers' in-store voter registration drives are nonpartisan, they vary in scope. One indie simply has a table with registration forms on it for customers to fill out and mail in themselves. Another hands out forms at the cash register for customers and then mails in the completed forms for them. One store has set up a display of books about politics and citizenship next to its stack of forms, and another's one-day registration drive is heavily promoted and this year will feature a presentation by an elected official. Left Bank Books co-owner Jarek Steele reported that the St. Louis, Missouri indie has organized voter registration drives in previous years, including most notably in 2016. During that year's campaign season, the store registered about 25 voters and sent the forms in one large envelope to the local Board of Election for processing. This year, however, Left Bank is doing things a little differently. Registration forms for both city and county residents are set out on a table for customers to fill out. Left Bank booksellers are providing stamps and envelopes, then directing customers to drop their forms into a mailbox just outside of the store. For people wanting to print out the forms at home, the store provides a link to Missouri's online registration forms via Left Bank's own site. A few weeks ago, Buffalo, New York's Talking Leaves bookstore set up a display of books on politics along with voter registration forms for New York residents. The store provides postage for those mailing in the forms, although there is a link on its website for those wanting to print out and mail in the forms themselves. Subtext Books in St. Paul, Minnesota is also emphasizing its outreach to young people in its voter registration drive, which it launched in March and is continuing through the November election. Minnesota state law permits Election Day voter registration at polling places. For the second year, Porter Square Books in Cambridge, Mass. Is holding a one-day voter registration drive as part of its ongoing series of Be the Change events addressing social justice and activism topics. Congressman Mike Capuano will make a presentation on August 25th, during which he will encourage people to register either in person at the store or online. The deadline to register to vote in the general election of Massachusetts is October 17th. Also in the news on Monday from the bookseller, wonderful poet Sweeney dies age 66. Irish poet Matthew Sweeney has died age 66. From the Pacific Standard, science fiction and fantasy readers make good romantic partners. New research suggests they have more mature ideas about how real-world relationships work. From the British Library, James Patterson prevails as king of UK libraries. Public library rights data reveals the most borrowed authors and books in UK public libraries. From BookWeb, Bellatrisk Book Club highlights indie bookstores on Instagram and beyond. Bellatrisk, the online book club curated by actress Emma Roberts and her best friend Kara Price, is inviting indie bookstores that want to be featured as their Bookstore of the Month to reach out to them on Instagram. And finally, on Monday from the Billions, we should all be reading ancient poetry right now. There's nothing like ancient poetry for making you reassess your priorities. Homer, Virgil, and Ovid can make you feel small and insignificant, but those feelings tend to pass and are worth enduring for the clarity they bring to the bigger picture. All right, we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are sponsored by Audible. Sign up today at audibletrial.com/AS21 and get your first month for free. That's your first audiobook for free, and you can keep that forever whether you decide to stay with the service or to cut it loose after that first month. But I think you're going to like it because you have over 180,000 titles to choose from. Just this past week, I listened to Mary Poppins by P.L. Travers, the first book in the series and the subject of the motion picture. Next up, Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. And then who knows what goes from there? I think my eyes are on Jane Austen, but we'll see. 180,000 titles to choose from, and once you download that audiobook, it's yours forever. You sign up each month, you get a credit for a free audiobook, no matter what price, just the monthly fee. But like I said, sign up today at audibletrial.com/AS21, and your first month is free. So check it out today. So many titles to choose from, so many wonderful stories to tell, and they are told sometimes by the author, sometimes by full cast recordings. Check it out today and put your reading in your ear. That's audibletrial.com/AS21.
Tuesday.
Top story from DigiDay. Platforms quickly pile on InfoWars ban, but Alex Jones still has plenty of places to shout. In the hours after Apple, Spotify, and Facebook banned InfoWars content from their platforms on August 6, InfoWars host Alex Jones wrote, "World-exclusive Alex Jones responds to being banned from the internet." Of course, it was an exaggeration. Those words were tweeted along with a link to a live video hosted by Twitter. Jones is far from gone from the internet, but major tech platforms separately, but coinciding with each other, cracked down on the conspiracy theorists this week. Those decisions, however belated, will have consequences for how the tech platforms treat similar content, media activists said. The move to ban InfoWars began gathering steam on July 11th, when CNN reporter Oliver Darcy questioned Facebook's reasoning for keeping InfoWars when it was sharing false news, like conspiracy theories on Sandy Hook, even as Facebook was taking steps to remove fake news. Facebook claimed InfoWars didn't violate community standards, or at least didn't pass its violent threshold, and continued to repeat that mantra during subsequent calls and events. On August 6th, Facebook unpublished four of InfoWars' Facebook pages, and Jones himself is under a 30-day ban, a Facebook spokesperson told DigiDay. The action came shortly after Apple removed InfoWars' podcast, except for Real News with David Knight, from its app. Spotify also removed InfoWars content. Later that day, YouTube banned its channels. InfoWars Pinterest page also went offline. Banned from multiple platforms, InfoWars on August 6th turned up on Periscope, which is owned by Twitter but has its own community standards, running promotions for its mobile apps and other properties. As DigiDay wrote last week, the digital ecosystem has lesser-known companies that enable sites like InfoWars. Also in the news on Tuesday from the bookseller, three UKIP members suspended over attack on bookmarks. Three members of UKIP have been suspended following the attack on socialist bookshop Bookmarks in Bloomsbury, central London, over the weekend. From ilovelibraries.org, AOA opens nominations for 2018 I Love My Librarian Award. Librarians touch the lives of the people they serve every day. The I Love My Librarian Award encourages library users like you to recognize the accomplishments of exceptional public, school, college, community college, or university librarians. Each year, 10 librarians are selected. Each librarian receives a $5,000 cash award, a plaque, and travel stipend to attend the award ceremony and reception in New York City, hosted by the Carnegie Corporation of New York. From the Chicago Tribune, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, as a movie? Be Still Our Beating Hearts. On Tuesday night, author, legend, hero, goddess Judy Blume, Margaret's maker if you didn't know, tweeted to her 552,000 followers, "So which of my books, kids and or adult, would you like to see adapted for a series or movie? I ask because I am in an LA meeting with many talented people. I think the time has come." And finally on Tuesday from LitHub, How Writing a Short Story Collection is Like Starting a Zoo, Valerie Trueblood on Grabbing a Story by the Neck.
Wednesday.
Top story from Variety, Slaughterhouse-Five series lands in development at Epix. Universal Cable Productions' Slaughterhouse-Five series is now in development at Epix, Variety has learned exclusively, based on Kurt Vonnegut's classic novel of the same name. The project focuses on Billy Pilgrim, a World War II soldier who becomes unstuck in time and travels back and forth through his past, present, and future. The novel explores the idea of predestination versus free will, the impacts of war, as well as the perception of time itself. UCP will produce. The series hails from writer and executive producer Sir Patrick McManus, who is currently the showrunner on Happy at Sci-Fi. Gail Ann Hurd of Valhalla Entertainment will also executive produce, along with John Brown of Ensemble Entertainment and Bradley Yonover of Brand Y Media. Kari Skoglund, who recently secured an Emmy nomination for her work on The Handmaid's Tale, is attached to direct. Should the project move forward, it would not be the first on-screen adaptation of the book. A film version starring Michael Sacks as Billy Pilgrim was released in 1972. Also in the news on Wednesday from Global Voices, Killing Speech Softly, how the world's biggest tech companies are quietly censoring critical expression in the Middle East. While a number of the region's governments sometimes make direct requests for content removal, along with exerting soft pressure through other means, the failures of tech giants in moderating content in the region is a much bigger and more complex problem. From the bookseller, subscription box for self-help books launches. Donna Louise Hay, the founder of the Goes and Girls Book Club for self-development titles, has branched out by creating a subscription box. From the Christian Science Monitor, Vermont libraries provide community, not just books. In an era when memberships in social clubs and church attendance are down, and critics say social media appears to be fracturing rather than knitting society together, libraries are stepping in as so-called third places where people can meet and socialize. And finally, on Wednesday, from The Guardian, from Star Trek to 50 Shades, how fan fiction went mainstream. Since it began in the 1960s, fan fiction has been both loved and dismissed as the work of nerdy amateurs. Now, a new generation of authors is dissolving the distinction.
Thursday.
Top story from The Guardian, mill workers' poems about 1860s cotton famine rediscovered. The forgotten voices of Lancashire's poverty-stricken cotton workers during the U.S. Civil War have been heard for the first time in 150 years after researchers at the University of Exeter unearthed a treasure trove of poetry. Up to 400,000 of the county's cotton workers were left unemployed when the war stopped cotton from reaching England's northwest in the 1860s and the mills were closed. Without work, they struggled to put food on the table, and experts from the University of Exeter have discovered that many of them turned to poetry to describe the impact of the cotton famine. Written between 1861 and 1865, many of the poems are by the workers most affected by the famine. Around a quarter of the 300 poems discovered so far are written in the Lancashire dialect, with some published in local newspapers or simply sent in letters. All the poems were held in local archives and had never been studied or collected. Also in the news on Thursday from the bookseller, stand-up star Helen Lederer launched his prize for funny female authors. Absolutely fabulous actress and stand-up comedian Helen Lederer is launching a new literary award in a bid to give female comic writing the exposure and praise it deserves. From Creative Commons, Discovery and Collaboration, Creative Commons awarded an $800,000 grant from Arcadia to support CC search and development of Commons Collaborative Archive and Library. Creative Commons is pleased to announce an award of new funding in the amount of $800,000 over 2 years from Arcadia, a charitable fund of Elizabeth Rousing and Peter Baldwin, in support of CC Search, a Creative Commons technology project designed to maximize discovery and use of openly licensed content in the Commons. From Daily JSTOR, being a Victorian librarian was oh so dangerous. In the late 19th century, more women were becoming librarians. Experts like Melville Dewey predicted they would suffer ill health, strain, and breakdowns. And finally, on Thursday, from Atlas Obscura, the crack squad of librarians who track down half-forgotten books, reuniting stumped readers with the books from the edges of their memories. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are brought to you by Simply Learn, the online site to give you training towards certifications in project management, digital marketing, cybersecurity, IT service and architecture, and more. Consider the Certified Information Systems Security Professional certification, considered the gold standard in the field of information security. The course is aligned with ISC 2 CBK 2018 requirements and will train you to become an information assurance professional who defines all aspects of IT security, including architecture, design, management, and controls. Most IT security positions require or prefer a CISSP certification, so get started with your CISSP training today. Sign up now before August 16th and save up to 30% off on all top courses. That's visit simplylearn.com or go to audio.as21.com and click on the banner for Simply Learn.
Friday.
Top story from the Institute for Museum and Library Science. People visited public libraries more than a billion times in 2015. The Public Libraries Survey report, released August 2nd by the Institute of Museum and Library Services, provides a snapshot of public library use, financial health, staffing, and resources in FY 2015. IMLS also released a set of state profile reports for each of the 50 states and the District of Columbia. Each year since 1988, the Public Libraries of the United States Survey has provided a national census of America's public libraries that they data are collected from approximately 9,000 public library systems comprised of over 17,000 individual main libraries, library branches, and bookmobiles in the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and U.S. territories. The 2015 report included the following findings. Nearly 311 million Americans lived within a public library service area in 2015, an increase from 306 million in 2014. In 2015, there were 1.39 billion visits to public libraries, or 4.48 visits per person. Public libraries offered 4.7 million programs in 2015, attended by nearly 107 million people, 5 million more attendees than the previous year. Public libraries made 1.31 billion collection items available to patrons and provided access to over 250,000 internet computers. The number of electronic materials available through public libraries, including audio, video, and ebooks, continued to grow. Ebooks, especially, have seen significant growth, increased from 0.04 ebooks per person in 2006 to just over one ebook per person in 2015. Also in the news on Friday from the bookseller, Bookish suffers despair as HSBC shuts bank account for 12 days. A bookshop was left stranded after HSBC closed its bank account for 12 days as part of a crackdown on financial crime. From the Washington Post, snakes in stacks put DC Library briefly out of circulation. The Georgetown Library closed Saturday after staff noticed snakes near a meeting room. Another snake was found earlier that day and released outside. The library called pest control and closed until the building was given the all clear, reopening Tuesday. Also in DC, from bizjournals.com out of Washington, busboys and poets at 5th and K to move. Busboys and Poets was a beacon among parking lots and vacant spaces when it opened at 5th and K Street Northwest in 2008, bringing a rare full-service restaurant to a neighborhood on the verge of a development boom. Now, 10 years later, the local restaurant will decamp from its prominent corner after failing to reach a deal with its landlord at City Vista, a mixed-use development that also houses a Safeway, a local hardware store, and several other locally owned restaurants. Luckily for Mountford and Triangle, it's not going far. From the National Archives, National Archives holds forum on management of digital records moving into the 21st century. As of December 31st, 2022, the agency will no longer accept records in analog or text form. So the NARA is proactively providing guidance now on how federal agencies can best meet the new electronic records management requirements of the future. And finally, on Friday, from The Independent out of the UK, now Bob Dylan is officially a poet. Do other lyricists like Elliot Smith deserve the same distinction? Smith is one of the greatest modern chroniclers of those very literary topics, addiction and depression.
Saturday.
Top story from Readers First. Ill-considered skullduggery. Neither the American Library Association nor the Canadian Urban Library Council has received replies to their communications with TOR, even though CULC sent their letters directly to the CEOs of TOR and Macmillan. TOR has still not made a public statement about widowing library ebook sales. They have communicated only through library e-content vendors rather than their actual clients, the libraries that get and provide access to the content. A number of RF working group members have sent statistics on TOR holdings. These libraries or library consortiums generally have comparatively large and heavily used collection. Here are a few: New York Public Library, 500 titles with 1,168 copies; Broward County, 249 titles; Maryland Digital Library, 45 titles with 149 copies; Ohio Digital Downloads Collaboration, 396 titles; Vancouver Public Library, 134 titles; Ottawa Public Library, 279 titles with 421 copies; Snow Isle, 685 titles with 812 copies; Mass Library System, 147 titles; Santa Clara County District Library, 182 titles. These are some of the largest public library ebooks collections yet. TOR titles make up collectively less than a third of a percent of holdings. Also in the news on Saturday from Global Voices, Bangladesh protests trigger mobile network cuts, journalists arrested. Students in Bangladesh are demanding safer roads in response to a bus collision that killed two students who were walking beside a busy road on July 29th. Protests began peacefully but turned violent on August 3rd when rumors of rape and kidnapping triggered confrontations between police and protesters, with police resorting to tear gas and rubber bullets. Photojournalist Shahidul Alam was covering the protests on Facebook Live. On August 5th, plainclothes police officers abducted and later arrested Shahidul, was beaten while in police custody, and later hospitalized. From the bookseller, Hay House UK launches Diverse Wisdom Program. Hay House UK is launching an initiative promoting diversity in the personal development, holistic health, and spirituality space. From Ha Aretz, The Real Reason Miriam Adelson Deserves a Wikipedia Page. A new AI program claims it can fix Wikipedia's gender bias by identifying and writing articles about deserving female scientists. But does data contain its own bias? And finally on Saturday, closing out the day and the week from the Daily Nation out of Kenya. Kenyan youth don't read, true or false? A study done by Geopoll in 2015 on newspaper and magazine readership in Kenya revealed that the youth account for roughly 20% of the audience. We'll be right back after this commercial break with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer.
This episode is sponsored by...
This podcast is brought to you by Interlude to Sentimental Me, the new stage play from A-Storm creative Michael B. Judkins. You enjoyed his poetry, now check it out as the new stage play. Funded partially through a crowdfunding campaign through Indiegogo, Interlude to Sentimental Me is coming to the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on September 15th and 22nd. Tickets start at $15 with discounts for children and seniors, plus a special VIP offer. For just $75, you get two tickets to either of the two shows, plus dinner afterwards. Each performance will be at 3 p.m. on each day at the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You can buy tickets online at Eventbrite. Just go to Michael Judkins' page at AS21, that's AS21.com/creative/Judkins, and click on the link or search Eventbrite today. Hey, $15 for adults, discounts for children and seniors, and anyone under the age of 2 gets in for free. Check out Interlude to Sentimental Me, 2 performances only at Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem. Get your tickets now.
Hello. This is Fiona the AOS21 computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 4th of August. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Origin by Dan Brown. Number 2, Paradox by Catherine Coulter. Hardcover fiction number 1, The President is Missing by Bill Clinton and James Patterson. Number 2, Paradox by Catherine Coulter. Paperback trade fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Number 2, Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, The Russia Hoax by Greg Jarrett. Number 2, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals by Janine Pirro. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, The Russia Hoax by Greg Jarrett. Number 2, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals by Janine Pirro. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain. Number 2, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Young Adult Hardcover number 1, The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. Number 2, Children of Blood and Bone by Tommy Adeyemi, and to the Amazon charts for the week starting the 5th of August. The most sold books on Amazon are, fiction number 1, Origin by Dan Brown, number 2, 2 Weeks Notice by Whitney Jean on fiction number 1, Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis, number 2, Fear by Bob Woodward. This non-fiction list doesn't look like non-fiction, but I really shouldn't judge. I mistakenly called Rachel Keith last week. Now back to Keith for the Home Report.
Thank you, Fiona. And now for the home report. This past week, we announced that A Satisfied Black Woman by Shayla Morris was our best-selling title for the month of July. We also announced a reading for A-Storming creative Thomas Beatridge of his book American Presidents at War at the Little Falls Library in Bethesda, Maryland. For more information, visit news.as21.com. Submissions are now open for the 2018 AS21 Annual. We'll be taking submissions of short stories, essays, photography, art, poetry, and more throughout the month of August. Visit as21.com/annual for more information. Surveys are still open for listeners to the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now. Visit surveys.as21.com and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and entered for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. Tickets are now on sale for the stage production of Interlude to Sentimental Me by Michael B. Judkins. The play will be September 15th and 22nd at the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Tickets start at $15 with discounts for children and seniors, plus a special VIP offer. Click on the link on Michael Judkins' page at as21.com/creative/Judkins. On Tuesday, the next chapter of Publish Me dropped as Paul Rana and I welcomed author Rishi Ray to discuss his new sci-fi book One Nation Under Gods as part of a larger discussion of sci-fi versus fantasy. Find Publish Me on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. In the week ahead, we'll be announcing more details about the re-release of American Presidents at War, with new editions now available in ebook and paperback. Sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21 to find out first. On Monday, AS21 Video will release a new episode of AS21 Unboxed as we open up the new copies of the revised American Presidents at War by Thomas Beatridge. The new edition will be available this week on the AS21 market, lulu.com, and everywhere ebooks are sold. Tuesday morning, AS21 creator Thomas Beatridge will be reading from the revised edition of his book, American Presidents at War, at 11 a.m. at the Little Falls Library in Bethesda, Maryland. Later on Tuesday, the next episode of the Passion of the Page Poetry Podcast will be released, featuring another live performance from the Poetry Open Mic in December at Walls of Books in Washington, D.C. Find Passion of the Page on SoundCloud, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Then Friday night, we'll be back at Walls of Books in D.C. for a Poetry Open Mic. Come on out and listen to local poets sharing their work. Find out more at wallsofbooksdc.com. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Is there any news story we missed? Be sure to reach out to us on Twitter at AS21 or email us pub@AS21.com. If you'd like to support this or other podcasts in the AS21 podcast series, you can buy an ad through AdvertiseCast. Just go to AdvertiseCast.AS21 and find reasonable rates for all of our series. Or you can become a patron of the AS21 podcast network by going to Patreon, patreon.com/AS21. Get access to a members-only blog and special podcast episodes. We're trying to raise money to keep the Passion on the Page poetry podcast going, so hope we kindle the passion and get us to $8 a month. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. Find us each week on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. I'm your host, Keith F. Shevlin. Thank you for listening, and keep reading as the world keeps turning. Copyright 2017, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?